Hey guys, welcome to the Progressive Vibe. I am your host, Dodrick. Today's date is January 23rd, 2022. This is season 6, episode 3. And the title of this episode, Filla Busted. So on today's show, we will discuss how not reforming the U.S. filibuster can and will negatively impact wanted progress here within the United States of America. A piece from Vox that reads, Democrats' failure on filibuster reform will hunt them. I tend to agree on that. That will be shared to highlight case and point. But before we get into today's main show, obviously, I wanted to engage with the listeners by saying, first and foremost, thank you for liking, sharing, and donating to the show. However you guys choose to show support, it is greatly appreciated. I hope everyone had a great week, is having a great weekend. It's a lot of things that's going on throughout our country that is at times overwhelming and could be very discouraging, but we will continue here at the Progressive Vibe to keep shining light on stories that matter, and we will continue to fight the good fight and trying to keep this country progressing forward, because we know if things continue to stay the same, they tend to become stagnant. And unfortunately, that's what our government has have been. It's been very stagnant, regardless of what party has been in charge over the last few years, or the last several years, rather. But we have to keep hope alive. We have to keep fighting a good fight. And we have to remember that we have an obligation to want better for ourselves, for the environment, for humanity. Why wouldn't you want, why wouldn't you want that? And if you don't, then, you have to do some obviously soul searching. But nonetheless, guys, before we get into today's show, because I do think it's going to be a good one, I wanted to say my thank yous to the audience for continuing to be supportive, liking and sharing and donating to the show. Guys, however you choose to show support to the show, it is greatly appreciated. Just by sharing the show on social media, it gets our message out very quick, very, very fast. And it's all totally free of charge. But you guys obviously have been on that, because the audience has continuously grew because of you. And I wanted to share that. I wanted to continue to share things that we might have, milestones that we might have reached, new and upcoming things that might have been shared by you, the audience, and continuing to engage, because we have to engage with each other. We have to get people on our side that tend to not agree with the Democratic Party. But that's where I feel like we have an obligation to, assist and to shine light and to tell people, hey, it's not just the Republicans that's messing up things. It's also the Democrats. Corporate greed does not have a certain party affiliation. It runs throughout the government. And we have to get people elected in those positions that have an obligation to their constituency. And we've gotten so far away from that, that it's caused so much anger, so much tension, so much environmental harm, you know, throughout the country and quite frankly, the world. But again, guys, I want to say thank you for everything that you do. And we will continue to progress throughout the years, throughout, hopefully, you know, in due time, you know. But also, I wanted to say the Progressive Vibe, excuse me, I lost my train of thought. The Progressive Vibe is on all platforms. You can listen and get your podcasts. That's Apple Podcasts, that's Google Podcasts, that's Spotify, that's Good Pods, and the list goes on and on. We're on all those platforms, so however you choose to listen or get others to listen, the Progressive Vibe should be on those platforms. You can get your podcast. Also, last but not least, the Progressive Vibe has an official website. And from that website, you can get our latest episodes. You can donate to the show. You can become a monthly subscriber. You can email the show and interact that way. You can also put in your email information to never miss when a show gets posted. And you can do all of this on theprogressivevibe.com. Again, that's theprogressivevibe.com. Also, if you would like to make a one-time contribution to the show, we do have a Cash App. The Cash App tag is DahDee92. That's DahDee92. But again, guys, however you choose to show support, it's greatly valued, and I just appreciate your time to just check the show out and listen and spread the word. That goes a long way. On that note, guys, let's get into today's main show after this quick break. Hey guys, welcome to the main show. So let's get into this article by Vox that reads Democrats' failure on filibuster reform will hunt them. It's a pretty lengthy article. I'm going to attach the Vox article with the podcast so you guys can check it out yourselves if you like. It's pretty lengthy. I'm not going to read all of it, but I kind of wanted to highlight the case and point of how not reforming the U.S. filibuster can and will, in this case, negatively impact wanted progress, such as voting rights in the United States. And before I read this, isn't it very, very crazy that in the year of 2022, we still in this country have to fight for voting rights? It's just sad that the country has not matured. And I don't know if that's the right word to use, but that's the word I'm going to go with. But it's just a lack of immaturity. Like, to say that people can't vote in this country because what status they are, what race they are? No, if you live in the United States of America and you're of the age to vote, then you should have that right, which it is, it's a right. It's not a privilege, it's a right to vote how you choose. That's how the system's set up. That's how it's been. And that's how it should remain. this is a democracy, even though it seems like it's in peril right now. Democracy is under assault in this country, and it's just infuriating that, again, in 2022, we still have to fight for voting rights. Like, shouldn't it be a layup? Shouldn't it be something that's already a thing? Why is it that we have to continue to fight for things in this country that should already be a given? It's just ridiculous. But I digress. I'm going to read some of this article. It says, the title of this article again says, Democrats' failure on filibuster reform will haunt them. I think it already shows that it is, quite frankly. It says, a failed vote on rule changes guarantees little progress on voting rights and many other policies. The Senate on Wednesday voted 48-52 against changing the chamber's filibuster rules, dooming much of Democrats' agenda for the near term. It goes on to say Democrats were ultimately split on the rules vote, with two opposing the change. I want you to guess who those two senators were that opposed it. Ding, 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 you're right. Senator Joe Manchin, Democrat out of West Virginia, and Senator Kristen Sinema, Democrat out of Arizona, were the only Democrats who voted against the rule change, which would have made an exception to the 60-vote threshold many bills need to advance. Listen to this. No Republicans voted to support the reform. Not surprising, though. It goes on to say it passed, the rule change would have, if it had passed, excuse me, the rule change would have enabled lawmakers to bring back a talking filibuster specifically for a voting rights bill that includes the Freedom to Vote Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act. This reform would have required senators to hold the floor and make speeches in order to maintain their opposition to the bill. It also would have allowed senators to pass the voting rights bill with a simple majority once debate on the measure had ended. For the other legislation, filibuster rules would have stayed as is. Because of Manchin and Sinema's long-standing opposition to filibuster reforms, the outcome of the vote wasn't surprising. It did reveal, however, just how much support filibuster reform has within the Democratic caucus, and highlighted a stark shift in the party's position on the issue. As the vote indicated, opposition to the filibuster reform is now limited to Manchin and Sinema, two of its most vocal critics. I'm going to scroll down here, guys. It talks about some moderate Democrats who voted in favor for the reform. That's good for them. But let's be real. The reason that it has not passed is because of, again, two senators, Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema, holding up progress for the entire country. Everybody remembers what Kristen Sinema did on the floor not too long ago when she struck down a $15 minimum wage. A federally $15 minimum wage piece of legislation. She did a thumbs down on it. So she's been known in the past to stop progression. But she's also been known in the past, too, to talk about these things that the country wants, that the Democratic Party should be all these things, but all of a sudden now that she's taking corporate PAC money, she has to obviously change her stance on these things. And I think it's so detrimental to her is because she changed drastically. Like, I don't think if people remember or not, but she was in the Green Party. It's just sad to see what corruption does to an individual. Because at the end of the day, they're human just like us. Just because they're an elected official, just because they're a politician, does not change that they, at the end of the day, just like us, are human beings. And unfortunately, people succumb to greed. And that's why I feel like somewhere such as in our government, money should be taken out of politics. It should be took out of politics. It's just that simple. Because time and time again, it has shown that it's not the people who ultimately hold the power, even though they vote, they voice their stances on what type of policies that they want throughout this country. It doesn't matter, because the donors of this country, the donors are the ones who run the country. Corporations are the ones who run this country. And we can't even get a simple piece of legislation to protect voting rights. It's sad stuff. It's really, really sad stuff. Let's continue to read on here. It said voting rights and many other bills are at an impasse. This is the other section. I'm not going to read all of it. But it says, because the filibuster is still intact, a lot of Democratic bills have no path forward. In the past, Senate Republicans have already blocked voting right bills four times and have not signed on to the Freedom to Vote Act, a narrower piece of legislation crafted by Joe Manchin out of West Virginia, in hopes of introducing legislation that would appeal to Republicans. Since Democrats have a 50-person majority, they need 10 Republicans to join them in order to overcome any filibuster. That support, however, has not materialized. Of course it hasn't. Of course it hasn't. Scrolling on down here, guys, it says, it was their repeated failure to pass voting rights legislation that led Democrats to seriously consider altering the filibuster. And that failure is set to have staggering consequences, as 19 states have approved laws that restrict voting access and undercut the authority of regional election administrators. Democrat bills directly sought to counter many of these state laws by establishing a federal standard for voting access and stronger protections for election officials. I'm just scrolling on down here, guys. Let's see. So a little bit more of this, and we're going to wrap it up for the article read. I'm just trying to find more important read. Okay, see, let's see. It says Democrats will need to narrow their legislative ambitions. This is the last section, actually, of this article. It says, in the recent weeks, some Republicans have said they'd be open to considering changes to the Electoral Count Act, which lays out Congress' role in certifying presidential election. These changes could clarify that the vice president isn't able to overturn presidential election results, an act that President Trump called on the then vice president, Mike Pence, to consider. Says, but this legislation wouldn't do nothing to counter states' attempts at voter suppression or partisan election Let me reread that. It says, but this legislation would do nothing to counter states' attempts at voter suppression or partisan election administration. And it has widely been derided as a distraction by some Democrats who saw renewed Republican support for it as a way to keep moderates from changing the rules. Sounds accurate. Goes on to say, this is from Senator Raphael Warnock. He's a senator out of Georgia. He said on a floor speech, quote, I support reforming the Electoral Count Act. That said, reforming the Electoral Count Act will do virtually nothing to address the sweeping voter suppression and election subversion efforts taking place in Georgia and in states and localities nationwide. And the last little bit right here, guys, it says whatever policies materialize will probably be much narrower than Democrats had hoped for. They don't really address the party's goals on issues like voting rights. That's the reality the party faces after its filibuster vote, one that they severely reduces the policy impact it could otherwise have. Yeah, and there you have it, folks. There you have it. Right there. The voters of the party want these things, but the Democratic Party, the moderate Democrats within the Democratic Party, see it otherwise. They don't want to do it. And people want to know why. People want to know, well, I don't want to say people. I want to say politicians in the media want to know why. People have no mainstream media. I'm going to say mainstream media. Politicians, mainstream politicians, mainstream media want to know why regular folks don't want to get involved in the voting process, that they don't want to be involved in the electoral process, to form a true, better democracy for everyone. It's because of undercut measures like this. The people have spoke. But when it comes to corporate politicians, they do nothing. And they want to portray it as some other reason on mainstream media that it was because of the progressive. It's because of the Republicans. It's because of the... No, no, no. It's because of the people who are in power right now. And the people who are in power right now are the Democratic Party. And people within that party, moderate corporate Democrats, are being the derailment of the party in the future. Because I think it's going to be a political bloodbath in the 2022 midterms. I hope I'm wrong. but it seems to be trending in that way. We're going to take a break here, guys. We got to take a break. When we come back, I will elaborate more on the state of the filibuster, what it does to keep any progress from happening here in the United States. We'll be back after these messages, guys. Stay tuned. Hey, guys, welcome back from the break. So let's continue to discuss. So from the last segment, we were reading the article. And again, you know, from Vox. And again, the title of the article spoke in volumes. Because Democrats will face failure if they don't remove the filibuster. And it's going to be a political bust, honestly, if they choose not to, because it's getting in the way of their own agenda. Now, again, as to Republicans, I don't want to focus too much on the party who is not in power as of right now. But it's apparent to call out what the Republicans have and is doing. They have struck down in opposition of passing any type of voting measures in the last four times. And they are doing so today, to this day. So we can't lose track on what the other side is also contributing to. But this is what frustrates me with the Democrats, is because, again, they have all three branches of power. And they're choosing their time. They're using their time into trying to convince the Republican Party that the legislation that they want to enact is important. It's important for the country. And the Republicans are, to their credit, blatantly saying, we don't care. We told you, meaning Mitch McConnell, that we wouldn't pass any type of agenda that the Democrats were trying to pass. Like, that was actually said. So we know, you know, when people show you who they are, believe them. And so we've known that the Republican Party wasn't going to try to do anything to help out the Biden administration. But again, what frustrates me with the Democrats is they pretend that they don't know the game when they've been in the game a long time. They've been in the game for a long time. Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden. A lot of these folks have been in these type of positions throughout government for a long time, so they know the game. But now the game is starting to catch up to them, because more people in this country are not only more progressive, more socially sound, more socially aware on the political climate that's taking place in our country right now. I mean, it's fairly obvious that we have a lot of tension, political tension within the country, and a lot of it's based on a lot of failed attempts to pass any type of progressive policies that's going to directly impact ordinary people's lives. And people are tired of the back and forth. People are tired of the culture war talk. People are tired of just this lack of government that persists within our country right now. I mean, when you have things that are took from the ordinary person for so long, you know, it's going to eventually come to a head. I mean, that's, guess that goes for, you know, the Democratic side, that goes for the Republican side. I mean, at the end of the day, without party affiliation, we're still humans. We still need certain things that would be beneficial to one's life, to their family, to their friends. You know, when you have, for example, when you have stagnant wages, you know, we talked about this in one of the episodes on the show. You know, when you have stagnant wages for so long, especially in sectors of the economy where a lot of people wouldn't want to work. And so we have to just, you know, we have to just take time out and put ourselves in other people's shoes. You know, well, what's your reason of not wanting to work in retail or the restaurant industry? You know, that might be their reasoning too, but they don't have a choice. You know, that's how they make their income. That's how they're able to survive in that area that they live in. You know, everybody can't be Hollywood stars. Everybody can't be music artists. You know, everybody can't have their own national TV show. You know, like, there are ordinary people out there that have to do these jobs that a lot of people, necessarily them, don't want to do, but they have to do it. That's why we have to, as a government, we have to know these things. We have to be aware of these things as a people, not just a government, also as human beings. They have to know, like, your quality of life deserves to be better, as should mine, as should your, you know, we should be able to expand that. We should be able to expand that. We should be able to want that. And it sucks when the country wants to move in that way, in that, you know, in that area, and we have corrupt politicians throughout the government that keeps that from happening, mainly because of the corporate greed, from the corporate agenda, from the status quo. And to unite both of these things that we're addressing together, I wanted to kind of provide you a little bit more context on how the filibuster has been a tool to keep any type of progressive measures, any type of basic wanted measures, such as voting rights, from happening. This is from the Poynter Institute on where did the filibuster come from. The filibuster was never established by a specific act. It emerged essentially by accident. Perfect of a rule to limit debate by majority vote in the 19th century, senators learned to exploit the rules to obstruct, delay, and take measures hostage for action on favored bills, said Binder, a political scientist at George Washington University and a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. It goes on to say, It took until 1917 for the Senate to enact a cloture rule that disempowered a single senator or small group of senators from stopping debate on their own. The 1917 rule empowered a two-thirds majority of senators to cut off debate and proceed to the business being blocked. That fraction was lowered to three-fifths in 1975, where it remains today. More recently, both parties have moved to eliminate the filibuster for appointments, but it remains in place for legislation. So what that says to me is filibuster can be removed on important measures, such as voting rights. Because as it shows, it was removed for Democrats and Republicans when it came to appointments, judge picks, Supreme Court picks. It was removed. So on one end, on measures that interest the politicians in power, the corporate politicians, which is majority, unfortunately, but it's okay for them to move the filibuster when seems fit. But doesn't anyone question on why doesn't it work? On the side of the people when it comes to protecting voting rights in this country. You have two senators who want to keep it in place in the Democratic Party for personal interests of their own, mainly due to protect their donors. Why else wouldn't you pass or vote yes on protecting voting rights in this country? And that's the problem. That's the problem. That's why it needs to be reformed. But in order for it to be reformed, you have to start by reforming corrupt politicians. I wanted to read one more history point from the Poynter Institute. And it says, how the filibuster has been used against civil rights legislation. It says, exploitation of the filibuster repeatedly undermined adoption of measures supported by majorities to protect and advance the rights of African Americans for much of Senate history, Binder said. The first period when this happened was in the pre-Civil War era, when filibusters were used against the admission of states depending on their slavery status, including California in 1850 and Kansas beginning in 1857, said Gregory Kroger, a political scientist and a congressional specialist at the University of Miami. Then during the Reconstruction and post-Reconstruction era, senators launched filibusters against civil rights bills, deployment of federal troops in southern states, and repayment of income taxes from the Civil War. And again, that was from the Poynter Institute. All right, guys. Well, when we come back, we will have the social media break of the show. You don't want to miss that. Stay tuned after these messages, and we'll be right back. Hey guys, welcome back. This is the social media break of the show. I hope you do enjoy. So Jory Mika says on Twitter, are we even electing the president of the United States at all? Or is the ruling class actually electing our president for us and making us think we had some kind of say with the mainstream media propaganda? It's a very, very good point. The Beguiling Bug says on Twitter, people love to say flipping burgers like 90% of you wouldn't die the second you stepped into a restaurant kitchen. That's true. That's true. Don't be making it seem like it's easy. It's an easy thing, man. That restaurant, that fast food restaurant business, that is not an easy job. I don't care who you are. Let's see. Pretty Little Date Machine says on Twitter, if Biden wants to improve his numbers, he should listen to Bernie. Pretty Little Date Machine got a good point. Can y'all imagine if Bernie would have actually won a Democratic primary? Nina Turner says on Twitter, 12 years ago today, SCOTUS ruled that corporations are people. The Citizens United ruling allowed corporations to buy politicians, Democrat and Republican. It's corruption, and we need to fight it at every level. I think that's a very, very great point by Nina. Last but not least, we're going to leave it here, guys. It says, this is by Bernie Sanders on Twitter. He says, the American people should not have to fight tooth and nail against wealthy and powerful corporate interests for decent wages, health care, pensions, and safe working conditions. That's going to do it for the social media break of the show, guys. I hope you did enjoy. When we come back, we will be closing out the show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. That's going to wrap up today's show. I hope everyone enjoyed today's podcast. I had a blast as always. We will be back next Sunday with a new episode of The Progressive Vibe Season 6 Episode 4. Once again, thank you to the listeners for making the show. You are The Progressive Vibe. You make stories matter, and I couldn't thank you enough for doing what you do. It really, really does mean a lot, and we're going to continue to progress together to get movement within our government for the better. Yes, and also, last but not least, if you want to keep up with the show, find out the latest episodes, donate to the show, all that good stuff, you can do this on theprogressivevibe.com. Again, that's theprogressivevibe.com. This show was sponsored by Anchor. Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast. If anybody wants to learn more about Anchor, you can go to anchor.fm to learn more, to get started on that. All right, guys, until next week, stay positive out there, stay progressive. I'll catch you in the next one. Peace and love.